This episode is less than 15 minutes long, and I'm sharing with you how I am using micro habits to stay on track to reach my goals, no matter how hard it gets. Hi, I'm Jen Larimore. I'm the host of Mom First. You are listening to a special episode series about how I am making 2023 my fittest year ever. This isn't your typical fitness podcast. I'm not a trainer. I don't run marathons. I'm just a regular working mom living in a sleepy Midwestern town who, after five kids, 20 years of desk work, and a pandemic, is ready to make 2023 my fittest year ever, mentally and physically. For me, it starts with reclaiming what it means to be fit. So I'm learning to love myself just as I am today, to nourish my body and to give it the joyful movement that it needs today so that it will serve me for decades down the road. Imagine what it would be like to reclaim the word fit for yourself too. So come with me. Let's ditch the body shame, the toxic diet culture, and the yo-yo results, and truly make 2023 our fittest year ever. Get those earbuds, grab your yoga mat, and let's go. Welcome to this week's Fittest Year Ever episode on Mom First. I'm so glad you're here. When I share with somebody for the first time that I am working on making 2023 my fittest year ever, people think I'm reaching for a number on the scale, or maybe that I'm trying to run some race or fit into some dress that's 10 years old. But really, what this year is all about for me is a new way of living. It's about who I'm becoming so that I can inhabit a body that is going to take care of me for decades down the road. Whenever we make a change, it's super easy to fall into a pit of overwhelm and despair. If you think about any time that you've made change in your life, or if you think about anyone who you know who is trying to make change in their life, you can see this play out. They start out with the best of intentions, super optimistic about everything that they hope to achieve, and then gradually, over time, they start to realize, uh-oh, this is actually going to be really, really hard. And they learn things that maybe they didn't know before about how incredibly hard something actually is. And so they move from this place of optimism where they really had no idea about what they were getting into or what they were taking on into this much more negative and pessimistic place where they have gained some knowledge, but only enough knowledge where they don't necessarily know the answer of how they want to get somewhere, but they know that whatever they're trying to do, it's going to be hard. It's harder than what they realized or thought before that it was going to be. I call this spot the pit of despair. And it's part of the process of change. It's a place that we have to work through whenever we are trying to create something new in our life. Whether it's trying to create a business, starting a podcast, making a new work of art, or creating a fitter and healthier body for ourselves. Here's the thing. There are only two ways out of the pit of despair. The first is what people do the most often. They give up. They decide that what they wanted to do wasn't worth it, so they stop. Or they decide that what they were trying to do isn't working, and so they tell themselves that they're going to go back to the drawing board and try something else. They try something new. They start over. The problem, though, with that approach is that they never stick with something long enough to actually see it through. So giving up is the first way out of the pit of despair, and it's the one that we as humans, we honestly choose this the most often. The second way out of the pit of despair is to climb out of it, to keep going, to reach the end of it, to keep moving forward to get to your goals. But how? How do you keep moving forward when you're in such a negative state? When you see how hard something is going to be, when you realize that the odds are probably really stacked against you, when you're genuinely worried that what you're doing isn't working, hasn't worked for those 2 weeks that you've tried it, won't work if you keep trying it, and so maybe you should start over. When you're having those kinds of thoughts, how do you keep going when you understand the amount of time and energy and effort and money it's going to take to get you to your goal? I'll be totally honest with all of you. For me, when it comes to my fittest year ever, it's really easy right now for me to sit in the pit of despair. I think about my fittest year ever. I'm 2 months in, and I can tell now that this is going to be a lot of work. It's going to be really uncomfortable. It's really hard to tell people that I'm trying to create a change in my life. It's hard to have that kind of accountability. It's hard to show up every day and try to do that. It's way easier to just give up. It's way easier to say, hey, maybe I would get to my result faster if I tried something different. My fittest year ever basically has three components. One, I take care of my mind and manage my stress. Two, I feed my body nourishing food. And three, I give my body joyful movement each and every single day. So far, in the first 2 months of 2023, here's what that's looked like. On the mental side of things, I've been navigating some big transitions, a lot of stress, a lot of judgment from other people, a lot of new situations, and that has caused a lot of stress in my life. I've had to do a lot of extra meditation. I'm trying new things to help stay relaxed and manage my stress. I have needed way more rest than I usually need, and I have needed a significant amount of time alone. That is one of the big ways in which I recharge. And as you might imagine, being a mom of five, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get that time alone. So managing the mental side of things has been really challenging. On the food side, I have noticed that some of the foods that I want to eat, some of those comfort foods, actually, unfortunately, don't feel that great in my body. And so I've been making slow but steady changes and trying to find foods that actually really seem to energize me and make me feel good. I look for the foods where if I eat them on Monday, I don't feel really tired and sluggish and foggy on Tuesday. And finally, on the movement side of things, I have been slowly building on my physical fitness by adding lots of joyful and fun movement to each and every single day. Putting all of these actions together over the last 2 months, here's what I found. The results are coming, but they are small. They are incremental. It is definitely progress, but it is slow. Here's how I know. The stress that I have managed this year, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. 2 years ago, I would have been turning to food, maybe using some wine. When it comes to food and movement, I've stayed generally consistent with my plan, and the result is that my body is generally feeling better, more energized, I'm sleeping a little bit better, and my clothes are even looser. So maybe this whole fittest year ever thing is kind of like one of those slow and steady wins the race type of situations. So while I can see how far I've come, I also know I have a long way to go. I have a long way to go to make this my fittest year ever. And part of me sometimes thinks, hey, wouldn't it be just so much easier if I kind of just gave up on this? I've even thought about how I could just go and delete my social media posts and the podcast episodes, and it would be like, I never ever said any of this or had this goal to begin with. Or I thought maybe I should try something that might get me the results a little bit quicker. So quick results in the short term, even if it doesn't feel good and aligned with who I actually want to be in the long term. And then I remember, I don't have to rush. I have a whole year, and I can just keep going tiny bit by tiny bit, doing things my way, having fun and feeling good so that I can move forward to my goal of making 2023 my fittest year ever, but on my terms. to do this, to keep me moving forward when I am especially down, I am using super small micro habits that I stack together each day. So think about that pit of despair. I'm kind of in that right now. I could give up completely, erase all these podcast episodes, the social media posts, what have you. I could start over, which is a form of giving up, by saying, what I'm trying isn't working. It's not working fast enough anyway. And I could try something new that might get me to my goal faster. Or I could keep going. I could keep pushing forward by stacking together small micro habits. And when I am at my lowest, when I feel like that's what I want to do to just give up, I take the smallest, tiniest actions I can find and I do them on that day. Because I know that if I stack all these tiny, tiny, itty bitty actions together, that over the course of weeks and months and years, they will make a difference. Here are the three tiny habits I'm stacking together right now. One, I eat 5 servings of vegetables a day. 2, I do yoga for 10 minutes every day. And 3, I engage in some kind of mindfulness activity each day, no matter what, no matter how small. It could be 1 minute of deep breathing, 10 minutes of journaling, an hour of coloring, whatever I want. It just has to be something. On the days that I don't want to stick with my goals, on the days that I feel like giving up, I still do these tiny 3 things. Because guess what? If I make sure I eat 5 servings of vegetables every day, even if I want to have some sweets or treats or comfort food, I will still have had some veg. I will still have nourished my body a bit. If I do just a tiny bit of yoga each day, I'm still staying on track with my goal to move my body joyfully each day. And if I manage my mind just a tiny bit each day, even if I am not doing everything that I might want to do, even if I'm not having that glorious 20-minute meditation session, whatever that feels like, I am still managing my mind and taking care of my mental energy every single day. Over time, these little micro habits keep me on track. I was just talking to one of my kids about all of these ways of stacking habits. And we were talking about how we could build with small habits and with big habits. And we realized that it was kind of like building with Legos. You know how Legos come in all kinds of sizes and shapes? You have some Lego bricks that are small and some that are big. And the actions that we take are the same way. Some actions are big and some are small. Just as you can build with big Legos, you can build with small ones too. You can build with small actions and small habits. Think about the Legos that only have like 1 or 2 of those little dots or studs on them. You can build with those. You can connect those. They go together. If you take those tiny bricks and you add them together, you can build with just those tiny bricks. You don't necessarily have to have the big ones. You can always add the big ones in. You can mix up the little bricks and the big bricks and build them any way you want. When I'm in the pit of despair, I think about how I'm trying to build a tower out of Legos to get me out of that pit. And I imagine then all of the bricks that I have to choose from. And those bricks represent my actions. They come in all kinds of sizes. And I know that I can build them together in any way I want and use them to get out of that pit of despair and move forward on my goal. The big bricks and the big actions are great, for sure. But sometimes all I can lift is a small brick. Sometimes all I can do is the small habit, the tiny action. And the good news is that that is still something. If I stack enough of those tiny actions and micro habits together, I'm going to get to my result. I'm going to build that tower. I'm going to get out of the pit of despair. It's inevitable. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep building my way to my goals, even if it means only using the small Lego bricks. My friends, If you ever want help figuring out how to stack tiny actions to reach your goals, send me a message on Instagram. I'd love to chat with you. You can find me at Mom First Coaching. I can't wait to hear from you. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode. In case no one has told you today, you are amazing just as you are in this moment. I see you. I believe in you. And I want you to know that you matter so much. I will see you next time. Okay, my friend, thank you for checking out this episode. Hey, if you like this content and you're ready to take the work to the next level, then I want to invite you to get coached by me. I offer one-on-one coaching and group coaching too. Imagine what it would be like if you could finally enjoy this season of life that you're in and set that incredible example of fulfillment and joy for your kids. That is possible for you, and I'm here to help. All you have to do is head over to momfirstcoaching.com to find out more.